Yeah, my name is Alana now. Why am I here tonight? I step forward to share my story and my strength and my experience for all of you that are in the room and all the people that are listening online and beyond in the world. I was extremely wounded as a child, and I continued the wounding for myself as I grew into an adult. I guess I didn't know any other way to live except for being in pain. And so I'm here to release that pain and to release the wounding so that I can live in peace and express love and to have my relationship with the higher power that I like to call God come forth in life. And I know that the peace on the earth that everybody would really like to have, it has to start with me. And that's why one of the reasons this is my sanctuary here, where I like to come and learn how to be a person of peace. I'm going to tell you a little bit about my story, because darn it, I don't want you to know the hell I went through personally. I'm a really sensitive person, and I was born very sensitive. I came out with my eyes open. I was ready to have lots of love and be held, and none of the above happened. I was premature, and my parents were extremely dysfunctional. They were really actually alcoholic, ACA, and sex addicts, and that's what brought them together, and I was born out of that whole being that they were. And I did get a fair amount of holding and love and stuff, but it was, I'm one of those persons had a life of, oh yeah, it's good, and then it's just horrible. It's just hell, you know, the stuff that I had to go through and to be witnessed for, and being the firstborn child and being such a child of God and being so awake spiritually, I got to be there as a teacher for them. They really didn't understand what was going on a lot of times. I'd be talking about angels and stuff, and they'd be looking at me like, oh, boy, this girl's really... One time I told my mom I wanted to go into outer space. I still dream of space travel. And she says, you don't need to go there. You're already there. And that really that hurt me. Now I can laugh. And I'd say things like that. And my father was a physical abuser, and when I was about... this is one of my biggest stories, is they were having a physical fight, hitting each other, and he was really hitting her hard, and he was a big man, and he had been a Marine, and he knew how to hurt people really good. And my sister and I got into the fight, and we had yo-yos, and we were egging him on to beat her, because she had been so bad. You know, and she, in our minds, she needed to be spanked. And he picked her up and threw her through the back door. And I went through the front door, and we were in Hermosa Beach. And we went to, I've heard that this is kind of a common story for children in this, in the alcoholic world. I fell down in the street. And it was at the dead end of Hermosa Avenue, and it's a pretty busy street, but it was at night, so, but I couldn't get up. I just could not get up, and my sister dragged me out of the street, and we ran over to our friend's house, and eventually they came and got us out of that. And so that's the kind of stuff that I got to witness, and I love my parents so passionately, in spite of all this stuff. And in the last few years, my mom was really getting really old, and she was like 94, 95, and she said, why do you love me after what I put you through? And I said, because I love you beyond your alcoholic person that you are in this life as. Okay, so that's the kind of person I am. I look beyond, as much as I can, circumstances. Now, there are some things where I have, like, I have a niece that I've let go of because she's really being very dysfunctional. And I have a sister on the East Coast that I cannot talk to because she's too high, too drunk. And So I've cut these people out, which makes me really sad because they are my family. So one of the biggest things I am coming back to ACA for is to have community and have fellowship with you all, and maybe have some kind of a functional family. I'm not going to hold you to too much function after knowing who we are and what we are. I started using drugs in high school. I'm a 60s kid, you know, acid and smoking pot. And I drank some. When I drink, though, I don't like the feeling of it. I'd much rather smoke a good joint. And I did a lot of acid, and then I did coke, and I got into all those kinds of drugs. And I was, till I was 47, smoking pot. Okay. And I had gone to Alateen in high school, and in my Alateen I got a boyfriend, and we went to his house. I went to smoke pot, and he and his brother were shooting up heroin, and I was like, no, I don't think that's my thing. I'm not into it. So I've always kind of like had sort of a, you know, I've got my head on my shoulders, and you know, Frank Zappa asked me to run away with him one time, and I said, no, I'm going to college. I can't go with you. You know, I would have killed my parents too. All of a sudden I was gone. It was in Philadelphia. I can imagine them all of a sudden having me out on the road with Frank Zappa. It would have been pretty wild. But no, I didn't want to do that to my parents. Although I was on acid that night and I drove home a lot. I was the designated driver on acid a lot. And I was in New Jersey driving. You know, I'm a high-functioning stoner. So I'm sharing this with you so you can, you know, the progression of the disease. And I have shared in my meetings, I said, why the hell do I have to get born in this family? I really would have liked to have a normal family, and I would have liked to have a normal life. So maybe I could have been supported in all the things that I would have loved to do with myself. I would have liked a better performing artist, singer, dancer, actor. When Mickey Mouse came out, I was ready to go to Hollywood, and my parents told me, no way are you going to Hollywood. You're going to be a secretary. And I'm a terrible secretary. So, but I was stoned a lot, and I started going to ACA, and sometimes I come to the meetings high, and I just felt that that was really contradictory, and I felt really embarrassed with myself that I could show up at an ACA meeting stoned, you know. And I mean, I went to Alateen stoned, but I didn't. By the time I'm in my like 40s, I think I should be able to you know, clean it up a little bit and get some kind of a life. And I'm still paying for being high for so long. I'm still paying for it. So I went to Marijuana Anonymous because that's my drug. I like pot. And it really, I'm now 15 years clean and sober out of that. So last year and the few previous years before now, I've been homeless and just not making it. And I've been so poor in such a bad way with finances, and I'm working on that and cleaning that up. I was out at Friendship Manor, finally got a room out there, and I had a little part-time job that I lost. And I knew John Luther from here initially, and then we started talking, and he shared with me about ACA, and he says, he looked right into my soul, just right into my heart, and he said, you're going to do the program with me. The way he talked, I was like, okay, John, okay. Okay, so we did a fourth step, fourth, fifth, you know, right out of the, you know, and this is right before he died, so it was neat that that all came together, and he... that's probably what keeps me really coming back to these rooms and to walk in the doors, to out of love and respect for someone who could see me and to love me. And it was really neat that he was there for me. I think he was really an angel in a body with cerebral palsy. And And for you out there in the world, he was just a, he had a real rough life, and he still kept smiling, and he kept moving through it all. And he had, he was in the program, and he had a really tough time, especially with the cerebral palsy. And interesting, my brother has CP, and he's like 25 years clean and sober himself, too. So I have my brother and me and our family that are on that track of being sober, which is really cool. So my life is like a twisty trail. I mean, it's like I get into this space of being like together and spiritual. And I became a religious science practitioner, which is a really big thing. It's a four-year program. I'm a Feldenkrais practitioner. I can, you know, I'm a healer. I do all this stuff. But I, it's like I never make money doing all this. And I'm an artist. And a few years ago, I do collage. And I, my mom still, I told her I had a new series of cards. And she goes, you know, you'll never make any money doing that. You might as well just give that up right away, right now. It's just like, why bother? And I said, wow, you know, I would have rather have her just say, oh, that's neat that you're doing art. Because she always knew, she knew I was an artist. And she would give me art projects when I was a kid and help really cool me, you know, chill me out from being so uptight. Because I would get really uptight. And I was the firstborn, so I worked hard. You know, I was the maid. And my sister and I decided that we were in prison. And it was, it really felt like that. And she spent time on Skid Row. And that was embarrassing because my father went to the police, which was a deadly mistake. Because guess what? The Daily newspaper read the police blog and wrote an article about my mother being on Skid Row. So everybody at school attacked me. And I mean, literally, physically, they would kick me and call me, you know, I know their parents were alcoholic, which is literally loud. And it was really painful for me. So I've never had the kind of, and I've shared this the other night, I am unique. I don't have the life that I think that you all have. Naturally, you know, I don't have the children. I made sure I didn't get, have kids. I just don't have the regular life, and I have to keep coming back to you and to these rooms because I think this is where the healing is going to be. Maybe I can attract into my life real friends and friends, people who can love me and support me, and maybe I can hear it when they give me compliments. Because I don't know about you, but I can't. A lot of times people say wonderful things about me, and I can't hear it. I can't feel it. I hear the words, but I can't feel that in my heart, you know. I had a good dream last night about that, that someone was complimenting me, and I was starting to feel it. I was feeling the love. And then I went to a healing fair out at the Center of the Heart today, and my mom got channeled. And I just helped her, made her transition in March, and she was 96. And I just loved her into it, you know. It's like into spirit, because I'm really into spirit. I'm into life that's everlasting. So she thanked me today and told me that I am a bright star, and that she's very she's very proud of me and the work that I'm doing, and the fact that I stayed clean and sober through the whole thing of being homeless and going through all of this, and now I'm working this program. And this program, I think, is the key for me to my peace, to my serenity, to my real connection with God. I was doing all of the spiritual work and all the practitioner and all that stuff, and there was something greatly missing, and it was called Adult Children of Alcoholics. This is my home. 1984, I was going to commit suicide, and a friend of mine at work, I don't know, remember why we got so close, and I was telling her about it. She said, oh, you're not going to commit suicide. We're going to start a meeting. It's called Adult Children of Alcoholics. I went, huh? What's that? And there was nothing like that in Santa Barbara. And we were still in the, you know, we had the papers. We didn't have any books. There weren't any books in 1984 or anything like that. So I'm grateful for my pain. I'm grateful that I have spent a lot of time thinking about dying, because it brought me to here and now. You know, it's like if I hadn't felt like, or I talked to Joan and started the ACA program back then, I would have committed suicide, because I figured out how to do it. And because I don't want to live through it. And so it's really cool that I personally want to give myself a hug and kudos for being able to move through the pain, move through the wounding. And it's great. I mean, it's like being a sensitive artist and being a loving person and living in this nest of hell, you know, it's just like, it's amazing that I came through it. And I see a lot of people here in this program that have gone through this thing too, and that you have a lot of growth and a lot of healing. And I finally have gotten a fellow traveler to be with me. I don't like sponsors, and I don't like AA. Sorry, I don't like AA, you guys. But I do like, you know, the 12-step program of ACA. So it's neat that we have that fellow travelers thing, you know. To me, that's really special that we call each other fellow travelers, because I think that's what we're doing. We're traveling together. So I think I've said it all. And I'm really here for everybody who's suffering in this room and out there and going through the hell, because I go through the hell. And when I come to ACA and I read the Red Book and I, you know, work in the workbook, and I went out and got myself a stuffed animal the other day, and it's, my little girl's real happy, and my inner child is very happy. We're doing it, you know. It's like, this is the place where we, and this is the whole program that we can bring peace to the planet, because I really think there's a lot of people running around that are wounded as we are, you know, as deeply as we are. And I know that everybody's experiences are different, and I want to acknowledge that. And I also want to acknowledge God, the angels, my guides, and music, and all the good things, you know. Like, I'm, you know, it's amazing how good I turned out. You know, I'm just really happy that I could be standing before you clean and sober, and being able to look for the good. I'm a looker for the good thing, and that I invite all the people that are listening to this to go to ACA meetings, to get the big red book, and to get the workbook and everything else, and get a fellow traveler and just work it and be here. Be here for God. Thank you.